The Weekend Kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The Weekend Kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And welcome in. It is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, Ballpark Frank Harnish, Armando Vasquez, Phil Devine. Well, he's taking a little vacation time. I believe he's back in the New York, New Jersey area, but
he's in New York.
Joining us, good friend of mine. I've known this gentleman for, damn, way too many years.
But, we don't have to talk about that.
But we go way back, and you've probably seen him if you've ever watched UFC back in the day, if you had the video games, and he's still training fighters to this day. My good friend, Mr. Ron Frazier. How you doing there, Ron?
I'm good after that introduction. I think I need some Metamucil or something.
Well, you know you got a big birthday coming up here, and I'm still ahead of you in the years, unfortunately. So, but
wow. I mean, long as you're breathing, yeah, you're gonna be ahead of me.
Well, yeah. Well, might not be that much longer.
Yeah, okay.
Who knows?
You know, well, what the hell? Okay. You always say that.
He's been saying that for 20 years. I've known him.
Yeah,
no, it's been longer than that.
It's been a long time.
Well, he had a date all set, and it didn't happen.
Oh, no, that's right. 2012. I remember how disappointed he was.
Wow. It's been ongoing ever since.
Yeah. Yep. No, there was even one before that. So.
Oh, there was one before that?
From a dream that I had when I was 16 years old. But that goes way back.
Way back.
But, you know, after what 2016 has done to everybody out here, man, it's been a rough year for, that I'm a celebrity, but a lot of people passed away in 2016.
And then after the elections, I'm kind of believing in cryogenics right now. I wish that was real. You'd be frozen.
What, it's not real?
You can go freeze yourself, see what happens.
All right. Well, we're not going to freeze anything. We're going to jump right into it here. On the Weekend Kickoff. By the way, it is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, now with 5 locations around town. Get all your supplements, nutritional needs over there. The people there are experts, so if you got a game plan, what you want to do, don't wait till New Year's Eve. Get there right now. Don't wait till 2017. Make those New Year's resolutions. Get there now. Start your program. I know I keep on saying I'm going to do it. Maybe this is the year I'll actually do it. Sometimes I start out of the gate, but unfortunately, I'm a quarter horse and don't go the distance.
Most trainers love this time of year because, November, December is notoriously slow. But they know, come January, everybody has that New Year's resolution. They've been eating for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they're, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape. And it lasts all of 3 weeks. But they'll pay for the whole year.
Yeah. The worst time of year to go to the gym, the first couple weeks of January.
Oh, yeah. Wait till like February, the middle of February, it'll die up.
Yeah, so, but anyway.
Wow.
Hopefully, you know, that's why I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions, and that's why I'm really not making one. But let's jump right into it here. We're going to look at some of the top stories from 2016, but this is primarily a fight show. We talk a lot of the fight business, and of course, we also talk some NFL. We'll get to week 16 here. Hard to believe, man, this season has been flying by. But last week, UFC, the fight night.
Right.
I made one of the first bets that I've made all year long, and I mentioned it on the show last week. I didn't understand why everybody was talking about Paige VanZant and possibly fighting Ronda Rousey. Now, I know she kind of said it tongue-in-cheek that she wasn't going to, but I said several times, not just on this show but on other ones as well, she better not look past Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie, because she is a legitimate fighter who's going to be 31 in January. She's a veteran. And although she's moving up in weight, she's a legitimate MMA fighter. I thought she actually had a good chance to win, so I put some money on the karate hottie.
Let's not forget there, Frank. She was off a year and a half or whatever it was, so they kind of like supposedly fed her to Paige VanZant.
Well, yeah, that's what they wanted you to believe. Yeah. But it's tough to take somebody from the Jackson camp and feed them to somebody, because she's probably been fighting tougher people on a daily basis than she's getting in the cage with.
I would say more skilled. I wouldn't say tougher. I train.
Okay, Paige. more skilled.
I trained Paige for about 6 months. She moved down here to Vegas after she was living in Reno. The problem with Paige is she's still green. That's the biggest problem. They rushed her a little bit. Before Ronda Rousey was the face of MMA, who was it? Gina Carano. And Gina was highly skilled.
Women's MMA for sure, yeah.
Gina's a beautiful girl, and everybody wanted to duplicate that. So I started training Paige when she was like maybe 18 or 19 years old, and they were rushing her. She was up at Ken Shamrock's gym in Reno, and she wanted to fight, and they were saying, hey, slow down, slow your roll. So she left that gym, went to Reno Combat, I think that's the name, I'm not 100% sure. Had one amateur fight, won a majority decision, and my understanding, and I'm not up there, is that you have to have 10 amateur fights up there for that camp before you turn pro. Well, she wins a majority decision, and they turn her pro. Ooh. And it's like, what? And then she moves out here. And, you know, they kept saying, hey, you know, this girl is coming. She wants to train with you. I'm like, okay. She comes in. I'm like, all right, you know, she's tough. She's a cute girl. She works hard. And I'm like, all right, we can do something. Well, I had been training her 2 weeks, and her management at the time, and I think she has different management now, says, hey, she has a fight in 2 weeks. She has a what? Anytime you change camps, it's kind of a setback. Because I don't know her. She doesn't know me.
We're right.
Trying to fill each other out. I'm trying to see what she can do. I train differently than the people she's been training with. So you kind of take a step back. And they're like, well, she fights in 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, who's she fighting? So she was going to Texas. And I remember her manager was like, well, are you going to corner her? And I was like, well, is she making like $20,000? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, I'm not going for $100.
Right.
You know, that's just not going to happen. So she goes to Texas. She was an underdog. She wins another majority decision. So now she's like 1-0 as a 2-0 or something as a pro. Then they were like, hey, Invicta called. They wanted to fight Tisha Torres. And I was like, no. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like.
Now let me ask you something real quick. Let me stop you there. You're the coach. That's what you do. You're training them. You're doing this.
Right.
Can you? You're not mad. Can you put a stop to a fight that you said, hey, look, you're going into a seasoned veteran here. You do not want this right now.
Yeah, I could. But the thing is this, and
I mean, you have that kind of power.
Well, it depends on who it is, and depends on how long you've been training them. I mean, I'm training someone for like 2 weeks. Probably not. What's going to happen is they're going to go to a different camp, and I'm thinking, okay. I know what I'm doing. I'm a veteran of this game. Let me see if I can navigate her through this fight the best I possibly can. And so I was like, all right, if y'all want to do this, you know, we'll come up with a game plan and we'll try to implement it. The problem I had was, even though Tisha at the time had one less pro fight, she had an extensive amateur career. She had like 8 MMA fights and probably another 10 Muay Thai fights. So she had an extensive career where I'm dealing with a young lady who's going into really her fourth fight, period. And anytime, whether you're amateur or pro, you step in that ring or cage, you gain experience.
And how old was she at this time? Because we know she's 22 now. And how old was she then? And how did she end up at Team Alpha Male?
I'm going to say like 19.
So about 3 years ago or so.
Yeah, so she lost. King Moloao, former Strikeforce champion and current Bellator contender, he was doing the commentating on the fight. So was Boss Rudin. And they looked at me as like, this girl is tough. Because I've seen a lot of fighters quit in fights. And she was losing. She was getting beat pretty good. And she kept going out there and she kept working at it. It was, you know, and even she even had a couple successful moments where she almost had a submission. But she ended up losing. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know, she got toughness. The thing you cannot teach, she has. But skill level is she's behind everybody else. She was a dancer. She didn't come from a traditional athletic background. She wasn't a gymnast or anything like that. She was a dancer. So a lot of things, especially with striking that you want her to do, you have to break some bad habits because obviously, dancers are about lines and being very erect, so you have to deal with those things. How she ended up at Alpha Male was You know, Paige was young when I had her, and she made young decisions, and it was like to the point where, like, I don't really care. You know, she had a boyfriend that she listened to more than she listened to our coaches, so we're like, yeah, whatever. But that was just being young. She was not a bad kid, and I know she went back up to Reno. I thought the best thing that happened for her was the UFC decided to have a 115-pound division and took all of Invictus fighters from that division. But she was too young to be on the show that they did on the UFC.
The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, I think it was Ultimate Fighter 20.
Yeah.
You have to be 21 to be in the house. Well, she was only 20. So she got to go into the UFC, not be in the house, and kind of fly under the radar. She won some fights. And, you know, she's a pretty girl, and they capitalized on it. And I have no problem with her making money, them making money. But they have to be careful and match her appropriately. And she won some fights against some people people probably thought she wouldn't beat. She did. And then she ran into Rose, and that was a reality check that there's still some work to do. And I think she ended up in Reno because she was just kind of, I mean, not Reno, but at Alpha Male. She was searching for that place she needs to be, far as a gym that can take her to the next level where she kind of fit in, and she found it there. But in reality, she went from Ken's gym to Reno Combat to me to Alpha Male, back to Reno, back to Alpha Male, where she's kind of stabilized herself. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take another 2 or 3 years before she really, really finds herself as a fighter. She's only 22 years old. And she said something that I thought was poignant a couple years ago, maybe about a year ago. She said, I finally feel like a fighter. And I was like, wow, you know, that's what she needs.
Voice of Ron Frazier here, veteran trainer in the MMA world and boxing as well, with us on the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned her toughness, and if anybody questions her toughness, then they haven't watched her fight.
Right.
I mean, when she got choked out by Michelle Waterson, she didn't tap.
She wasn't going to tap.
She wasn't going to tap.
She won't tap in the gym.
I mean, she's very tough, maybe too tough for her own good at some point. Something could happen, which we certainly hope doesn't. But when you get somebody like her, and I know Uriah Faber was telling the story the first time he saw her in Alpha Male when she started beating the hell out of somebody she was sparring with because they didn't really know who she was. And they said at that point, wow, we got somebody here who might be a legitimate fighter. She says she wants to be a legitimate fighter. She's 22 years old. She just lost to Michelle Waterson. That's not really a knock. Michelle Waterson is an atomweight champion. She trains with the Jackson camp. I mean, she's a legitimate fighter. She's right. Very, very talented. But she's being pulled in the direction of television, movies possibly. I've heard rumor that the WWE is after her to try to do something. Do you think she will stay a fighter? Because there's other ways that she can make a living, make a lot of money, a lot easier than getting punched in the face. And they'll choreograph stuff for her to win, whereas opposed to if she's got to actually earn it in the cage.
Yeah, I think she will. I think she's kind of found her niche with it. It was actually a concern of mine when I first started training her. I was like, is this something she really wants to do? Is this something everybody else wants her to do? But in the Tisha Torres fight, I found this is something she wants to do. So I think she'll stick with it. But she's 22, and they're going to, because of how she looks, because of her success of Dancing with the Stars, her Q rating is off the charts. There are going to be other avenues for her to make money, and I can't be mad at her for going after those. But she's got to be careful. She's got to do some training. She's got to shore up the holes in her game. And, you know, right now I think she lost to Michelle. She lost to Rose, two really good fighters who are actually, you know, higher rated and at this point in their careers, more talented. And it doesn't matter because I don't think any of them beating this Joanna at 115.
No.
Doesn't matter.
She might be the champ for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What did you think of that card in general? Because it kind of seemed like the card where the UFC wanted to show Paige VanZant and Sage Northcutt because they wanted the two
same
youngsters
boat.
Coming up.
Same,
we'll put him up against the guy that beat CM Punk because we don't really know if he's legitimate. The biggest problem I had with the card from a personal standpoint, and maybe it's because I consider the guy a friend and we've known him a long time,
yes.
Uriah Faber's last fight in Sacramento, his hometown, the guy's been a living legend. He says it's his last fight. We'll see. Something could happen again where he gets back in there. But he said if he doesn't name a date, that he'll keep on fighting forever, basically. I would have liked to see that fight card be more about him. But I do understand, too, it almost seemed like he was saying, you know what, I'm passing the torch on, and Paige is from Team Alpha Male, so we're still going to get the publicity and everything. But I kind of thought that Uriah's fight should have been the co-main event rather than Mickey Gall and Sage.
I agree. I think he probably earned the right to be the co-main event, especially in Sacramento. But if you saw the ovation that he got,
I saw it.
That was about that whole night really was about Uriah Faber. And I thought the UFC, in the production standpoint and the post-production as well, really, you know, showed their props and admiration for Uriah. Uriah is a good kid. So I've known Uriah a long time.
Interesting having Dominic Cruz be part of the announce team for Uriah's last fight.
You know what,
fight.
Though? I thought they
Why was that?
Well, I mean, Dominic is there. That's his job. But you know what? I thought they showed a great amount of respect for each other.
Oh, I did too.
And rivalry aside, and you respect that person that you've been in wars with. They fought three times.
So, yeah, but the guy that he's training to knock his block off is...
That's okay.
that's all right. I found it really, like, why be there?
But that's what you do. I mean, yeah. I remember a situation in a few years ago, and I was training a fighter who's now a police officer. He was leaving my gym, going to another gym. And I was like, you know, just wishing him well and like, hey, but there's a possibility we may see each other across that octagon one day. And somebody had overheard that, and he was like, you would do that? And it was like a traditional karate guy who was extremely upset that I would, like, if it came where one of my other fighters was matched up against him, it's business. He's like, yeah, I like, look, he's not my son. I'm not trained. Like, I love the kid, but he's moving on. He's doing other things. I'm staying here. If it comes about, we have to go against each other, then that's what we'll do, and we'll be professional. And the same way with Skipper Kelp, the guy who got me started in this business, and we haven't done it, but another coach at UNLV with us in the boxing team, Chris Benn, we faced each other across the cage from one another, but as coaches, but me and Skip haven't. But it's something we've talked about, and something, you know, is a possibility.
How's the trash talking when it comes to that? When you know that guy across the hall or across the way?
Well, it depends. It depends on their personnel. I mean, if they talk trash, they know. They know. There's no one going to out-talk me. So they know. That's why I laugh, because my fighters, if anybody fights Conor McGregor or Nate Diaz or any of those guys, yeah, nothing they say will bother them, because I probably already said it to them.
All right, real quick, we're up against a break here. Let me ask you this, because we've been talking about the women's division here.
Yes.
The stuff going on with Cyborg, and she gets popped by USADA.
Yes.
Should the UFC have made a 125-pound division for women instead of the 145? Because right now we have Cyborg, who's not going to be able to fight, it looks like. We don't know how long or whatever. And their championship fight is going to be somebody who's doesn't even have a winning record.
Really? You're going to point that out there, Frank?
Well, I think that's kind of our job on the show.
Yeah,
is that? Isn't that fight just to set up Ronda and Holly rematch for a belt?
Could be. I mean,
it could be.
Ronda struggles to make 135, and they want to boost her to be a two-time, two-division champion.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, what if she loses this coming Friday night?
She very well could.
Yeah, well, okay. Let her lose.
It's kind of an awkward situation.
We'll get to that.
Awkward because we have one girl who's coming off of two losses fighting for a title, and another girl with a losing record. It's like, what are you doing? And there's other 145-pounders out there that I think they could have got to go up against Holly Holmes.
Well, see, you're in the know, but we know very few.
Yeah, and they could have went and raided Invicta again and took all their 145ers.
When is Shannon Knapp going to say no more?
Shannon's not going to do that.
No,
I'm sure there's money coming in Invicta's way.
Of course.
So, you know, it's in their best interest to take the money and then keep trying to develop fighters as a feeder system.
Which she does very well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I like Shannon. Shannon's a veteran. Shannon knows what she's doing. She's very bright.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk some NFL. We still got to go over UFC 207 as well. Lots more to try to get to here on a Christmas weekend. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Today is the start of Hanukkah as well. So whatever you celebrate out there, hopefully you have a great weekend. And if you don't celebrate anything, well, then just, good Saturday to you. We'll be back with lots more to get to. NFL next, weekend kickoff, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Every Saturday morning, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Ballpark Frank Harness, Armando Vasquez. Yeah. Phil Devine on vacation this week, celebrating the holidays back east in New York. So my buddy Ron Fraser has stopped by to do the show with us, talk some MMA, NFL, whatever. I know that you are a big NFL fan, so let's jump into some of that right now. And, I guess I'll start with your team.
Yes.
What's going on with your Steelers? They have the rivalry game this week with Baltimore. Baltimore kind of underachieving a little bit in some people's mind. I always think that's kind of one of those sketchy type of teams. Joe Flacco, he's won a Super Bowl, but I don't know exactly how good he is. But what do you make of this game here? When I first looked at this game, the thing that shocked me was, it's like, wait, it's not a 3-point spread? It's always a 3-point spread with these two teams.
Right, but for this decade.
But this time, Pittsburgh is a 6-point favorite. I don't think I've ever seen a spread that big in this game.
That might be a little scary that it's that high.
The Ravens don't have a good enough defense anymore.
Their defense has breakdowns where it used to not, especially in the secondary.
You don't replace legends.
It's hard. It's very. I know. I'm a Pittsburgh fan. Our defense has not been great either. It's very difficult. But you know, Baltimore has not won on the road. That and the only two teams they beat, I think, is Cleveland and someone else, and they're both horrible teams. So that's their problem right there. It's hard for them to win on the road. They're going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh know what they have to do. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They know they win this game. They clinch the division, and that's what they've been pointing to. And I think they win, but in these rivalry games in this division, that you can never go too far out on the limb unless you're playing Cleveland. That's about the only safe bet you can make.
And
tell that to Cincinnati today.
And by the way, San Diego fans are nervous this week because they do not want to be the team that loses to Cleveland. What do you think about the whole thing with Cleveland actually talking about having a parade if they go 0-16?
That is awesome.
Why would you celebrate that? Especially, you just had...
The Cavs tribe, finally won a championship.
The Tribe does have
a
great
tribe
year.
The Tribe almost won.
Cavs win. You have a UFC champion... From hailing from your city, the heavyweight champion.
Who won before the Cavaliers, by the way.
Yes.
He actually started the ball rolling there.
Yes.
And people tend to forget that.
And you're going to celebrate going 0-16, being the crappiest football team in America?
What else can you do about it? I mean, you can't sit there and cry about it.
No. Your object is to get better. Use these last couple of games to see who's going to be on your roster next year and where you need to go in the draft to improve this.
I would love to see how many people show up, even if they got 1,000 people to show up.
had Cleveland, the Cavaliers not won and the Tribe not performed well, I would say a lot of people would show up.
You're right.
They still may. I mean, people love football and they love their Browns and, they're diehards either way. Hell, the Cubs won.
Finally.
Only 108 years.
Yeah, there you go. So, how was that first game back then?
I was not around back then.
Oh, my bad.
I wasn't even around when the Billy Goat was there, okay?
Oh, okay.
When Murphy the Billy Goat was there, that was like 45 or whatever.
Sometimes you talk like
around.
You're like 200 years old.
So I feel like it, but Moses I am not. All right, let's stay in the AFC.
He has to get out the desert.
I'm going to bite my tongue on that one.
Yeah.
I'll say something to break here to you. let's stay in the AFC and look at another game. What is going on with the Raiders this year? Are they for real? And the Colts, I don't know. Every time I think the Colts are just god-awful, they do something like they did last week where they obliterated a Minnesota team who needed the game really bad.
And can they do it 2 weeks in a row?
They probably bring Adrian Peterson in a week early. Now he's not playing this week against the Packers. We'll get to that in a second. But Oakland and Indy. Is Oakland for real?
Their offense certainly is.
And can we even call them Oakland? Can we just call them the Raiders since they're going to be coming here in a couple of years?
Are you sure
just
about
call
that?
Them the Las Vegas
Not
Raiders.
Sure of they're anything, but...
You sure about that?
It's possible.
It is possible. Probably more so than I actually thought, but it may happen.
Come on, this time last year, did you ever think that this was even close? No.
No, but why would you want all those criminals in the stadium?
Wait, my bad.
Well,
I don't think they can all afford to move from there, so it's going to be the Raider fans in Vegas that'll be here.
Raiders you have seen nothing sufficient. Yet. There's a lot of people wearing Raider gear around here that you don't want to be sitting next to at games. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, and I've
heard other people talking about that as well.
And you have a lot of people from L.A. that'll be driving up. They have gas money.
So you one of the people that is opposed to the Raiders coming here?
Oh, I'm not opposed because they play Pittsburgh every other year. I have no problem with that. I can carry firearms. I mean, not into the stadium. But.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. But on the gridiron, what do you make of the Raiders? That was the original question before this tangent.
You know what? I like this team. I like this swagger.
You know what's so funny about that? He could take care of himself, and he still. I got a firearm in the car.
Yeah, well, that's a lot easier. Not much energy. Well,
plus, remember,
no energy.
Taking care of yourself one-on-one is different than one-on-five or six sometimes.
Oh, five and six? It's more than that.
You knock out the first two, the others usually go, oh, bad choice.
Bad choice.
But anyway, the Raiders, actually, I like their swagger. I like them, what they've been doing all year long. I think they win this game. The Colts are still a little inconsistent for me, and I'm never quite sure what that defense is going to do. You know, I think the Raiders' offense have been consistent, and their defense is starting to play better right in time for the playoffs. So, you know, this team is young. Maybe, you know, they don't know they're not supposed to be doing this.
Of course they don't. You know? To me, from week five, I'm sitting here. They're the Raiders. They ain't going to do anything. They were an enigma because they're not going to do anything. They're going to choke. They're going to do that. And then, you know, 8 weeks later, I'm still thinking, what in the world is going on? How did they go down? You know, I have no idea. Derek Carr's play is exemplary, which I always thought it was going to be. Then all of a sudden, the defense decided to play well. And, you know, Khalil Mack's a beast as it is.
Yeah. And you knew that coming in. He was going to be a beast.
But all of a sudden, he got help.
He's getting help.
And I'm like, because like week four, we had a big discussion. I'm like, there's no way that they're doing anything. And it's like, their defense sucks. And all of a sudden, whoops, you know, open mouth, insert foot. And now, you know, could they threaten New England in the playoffs in New England?
No. Yeah, well, in New England?
Yeah. Well,
no.
Come on.
No. It's going to be cold.
No Gronk.
I don't care.
Does he need a Gronk?
Trying to throw something out there to make Armando's arguments.
I hate New England, and I hate on Tom Brady. I hate on Tom Brady because he's just uber successful, and I just can't stand it. You got a hot wife who makes more money than you. You got a hot baby mama who's paid. You make all this money, and you win. I hate this guy.
And
he's just winning at life, and I am not happy about it.
And this year, there's a possibility that he wins an MVP award when he was suspended the first four games of the season.
Yeah, but he deserves it.
Yeah, I'm see, that just made me hate him more.
That's what I'm saying. I'm giving you more ammunition to hate him.
That's what I need. Every time I look at his wife, I'm like, I hate this guy.
All right, well, you don't hate these guys. Maybe you do because they're still in the AFC. Another game that's important this week, Denver and Kansas City. Kansas City always tough at Arrowhead. Denver, they may be defending Super Bowl champs.
They're not going back to the playoffs. So.
But maybe Peyton Manning was a little bit more important than we thought. I mean, and again, he didn't perform that well. But when I saw Peyton Manning come in last year for Osweiler, what I saw was a guy that couldn't throw the ball, couldn't do a lot of things that he used to be able to do, but he could still read the defenses and call the correct play at the correct time. Even if it was an audible on a handoff, he would change the scheme, and they did enough to win with that defense they had last year.
The quarterback hasn't really been their problem the last few weeks.
No, Simeon's played decent.
It's been kind of everything else on the offense. They just cannot score any points, or they have turnovers at the wrong time. Not that there's ever a right time to have a turnover in a game, but it seems like there's just been killers for them. And obviously, they're an emotional team. They've had bickering back and forth between their offense and defense. And Kansas City's played well. And actually,
until last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is funny to me because I'm a Steeler fan because I have four older brothers that two are Raider fans, two are Chief fans. And when I was little, they wanted to make me pick the. They wanted me to break the tie. It happens to be the.
What happened? Lynn Swann or John Stallworth change your mind?
Immaculate reception game, actually.
Okay. All right.
That was the game that made me a Steeler fan.
Franco Harris. All right. Yeah. I like it.
Frenchie Fuqua.
Yep. So I like the Chiefs. I just like what they've been doing.
All right, it is the weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, talking a little NFL. Week 16, only a couple weeks left. Teams really now trying to position their way in or out. And I said it a couple weeks ago, being a Bears fan, we've been out of it for a long, long time. But anybody who's ever listened to me knows that I cannot stand the Packers because I'm a Bears fan.
Oh, yeah.
But the Lions have been in first place most of the season. But I looked a couple weeks ago and I went, they're going to be the Lions. They're going to lose to the Giants and lose to the Cowboys, and then they have the Packers at last. They're going to find a way to let the Packers sneak into the damn playoffs again and screw this thing up. Part one happened last week with the loss to the Giants.
Not going to happen.
What are they screwing up there, Frank?
It's not going to happen.
The Lions just that the Packers don't make the playoffs?
The Packers are not going to make the playoffs.
Really?
Really. Oh,
because all the – so, well, are they going to beat Minnesota this week? No Adrian Peterson. They're seven-point favorites. It's in Green Bay. And then the last week is against the Lions.
They're going to lose, Frank. One of the two. I don't know which one.
Man, do I hope you're right. Does Detroit win this week against Dallas? Does Dallas rest some people? I mean, they don't have a real lot to play for. They have some rookies that have played great for them this year, but they're college players from last year. They haven't played this deep into a season. Is this the week that they try to rest somebody a little bit?
I don't think you do. I think you go and you keep doing what you've been doing. I think Denver in the past have shown, and other teams in the past, that when you start trying to shut it down for the playoffs, it shut down your playoffs. So I think they need to keep it going, keep doing all the stuff that they've been doing up to this point that's made them successful. But Detroit's offense, Stafford has been playing well. and their defense has stepped up this year and made plays where they've normally broke down in the past. So I like this Detroit team, and I think they're gonna ride it out, and they're gonna find a way to get it done in the end.
I'd like them a lot more if they would have won last week.
I'd make you happy and keep
now, Frank. Let me ask you
keep
something.
Keep the Packers out of the playoffs.
Yesterday, I heard you on Mitch and Pritch.
Yes,
doing a show with a Packer fan. How you controlled yourself? How you didn't just strangle this guy while he was talking to you about.
There's Packer fans all over the place in this building and all over my world. Mitch Moss is a Packer fan. I share an office with him. We share a computer for crying out loud.
But I'm used to
Terrence, who supports this show, is a Packer fan, a big time Packer fan. Yet supports it by putting us on the air. He's the one who writes the check for crying out loud. I do have to deal with some Packer fans. It's kind of part of life.
Yesterday,
wow.
Oh no! The guy, homie, was I'm the Packer fan. I'm sitting here looking like what?
You know, I mean, the funny thing, being a Steeler fan, there were like lots of Steeler fans everywhere. As I'm doing my Christmas shopping, and I'm wearing my Steeler gear, someone at least, you know, three or four times a day will come up and give me a high five. And I think the world would be a better place if we were all Steeler fans. I mean, Packer fans, there's a lot of them, but I'm not so – they're a little sketchy. Bear fans, some of them are a little sketchy. Some are real cool.
We're in Vegas. We're in a Cowboy Raider town.
No. Yes. No, that's not true.
No. Really? Get the RJ at the start of every season. There's bars for every single team out here.
There's tons of Steeler fans. There might be more Steeler fans in this city than anybody realizes.
They're more laid back.
We got six Super Bowls. Why we got to be uptight?
Because I don't see them as much as I do Raiders and Cowboy fans.
Well, where do you live? In the hood?
Yeah. No, he actually lives in Southern Highlands now. He lives in a nice neighborhood.
I've been to Southern Highlands lately. It's starting to turn into the hood.
Well, he might have been the start of that movement.
You are correct.
But no, years ago when I used to do a Monday night remote out at the Galaxy Theaters out at the Cannery, I mean, you were out there, I think, a couple times you stopped by. We had like 560 seats back then. That's before they put in the big luxury seating. There were several teams, the Packers, the Bears, the Giants, the Cowboys, the 49ers, a lot of teams, the Raiders for sure. Yeah. When they played, we turned people away out there.
Raiders,
so there's a big contingency of a lot of teams out here.
California, obviously, and a ton of people that's moved here from California. Cowboys, they just have a lot of fans everywhere. A lot of people that's moved from the East, So that's why you have a lot of Packers and, you know, Giants and Bear fans.
Well, plus Packer fans, it's one of those teams that people jump on the bandwagon of, oh, it's a friendly little town up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and they're owned by
Tell
the community.
How you really feel, Frank.
Oh, it's so nice. Oh, wow. Yay. Half the people I know that are Packer fans have never even been to Wisconsin. They probably couldn't find Green Bay on a map.
I've been to Wisconsin.
Oof. So have I.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, that's about how much
All right. One other game that I have to touch on here real quick. All right. if there's one that you guys want to throw in, that's fine. But I have to do this for Phil and for Big T Terrence because Armando.
Oh, come on.
The Tidy Bowl is this week.
Whoa.
The Kohler Toilet Bowl, whatever you want to call it. San Fran and the Rams going at it. See, here's the joke on the show if you haven't heard us very much this season. Armando was a diehard 49er fan.
Why?
Had all the jerseys, had everything.
Why?
All of a sudden, the Rams come back, and he disregards his 49er stuff
because
the Rams are back in L.A. So he not only changed alliance, but he changed it to a team from the same division in the same state that's the two cities hate each other.
Well, I would say hate. San Francisco's kind of irrelevant.
I don't know. All I ever hear is beat LA no matter where I'm listening from anything.
Well,
fan base.
Yeah, I mean, they say it, but they're still irrelevant. It's LA and whatever other city.
Well, right, but it's not just
the Giants. That, why? And, because I'm from Los Angeles.
Yeah, the Giants and Dodgers say it. It does happen.
It does happen, but San Francisco's kind of irrelevant.
But he was a 49er fan.
You know what? I'm going to call my friend Patrick Willis and let him know that you switched alliances.
It's okay. He retired. He's gone.
He switched alliances, too. He looked at what was coming up going,
plus,
nah,
I'll bring
that's
my jersey
right.
for him to sign. So
he's like, nah, that's all right. I don't want to play with these guys. Wow. Yeah, that's a bad game. Wow.
Yeah. But I'm going to watch it, Frank, so there.
Yeah, that's bad. It's all bad.
It's the only game where Cleveland's looking in the rearview mirror going, you know, if we do win one of these guys might steal our draft pick.
Exactly.
Cleveland's going, you know what, we might not have won a game, but we're not L.A. or San Fran.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they got up this morning to watch the sunrise in the ocean over there from the Rams. Oh, wait, that's right. It actually sets there, but they don't know that some of their players. They're looking for mermaids in the sunrise in Los Angeles.
No such thing as dinosaurs.
Oh, okay. Somebody have some shrooms?
Yeah. No, apparently somebody didn't actually go to class. Imagine that.
You don't have to go to class if you can shoot a jump shot or throw a football. Fast North Carolina.
Oh,
too soon?
Damn.
Well, there's a lot of places that could go.
Oh, I know, but North Carolina had it going on where the course wasn't even offered at the school.
Well, it doesn't have to be offered for you to take it.
Apparently not.
It's online. No, it doesn't even exist, but yeah. Anyhow.
Well, you have an A. Whatever it is, you have an A.
But you aced it, baby. You're still eligible. All right, we are eligible to talk some UFC 207 next and maybe look at some of the top stories of 2016 when we return. It is the Weekend Kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition with 5 locations now. No matter where you are in the valley, get all your nutrition and supplement needs at Vegas Discount Nutrition. And we'll be right back.
Was that you that got Floyd when he said he's going to slap Conor McGregor?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you what. You interviewed Floyd, right?
I have.
You had to aim the camera down here, right? Floyd's about this tall, okay? His hands are like peanut brittle. He has to wrap them a million times so he doesn't break his hands. Floyd better hope he don't run into Conor on the street. Let me tell you what. Conor, not only will Conor kick his ass, he'll kick the shit out of every one of his security guards, too. So, 100%. 100%.
Really?
I would love to be there when Floyd tries to slap Conor McGregor.
Well, that's what he said. He said
I promise you, Floyd, you will never try to walk up and slap Conor McGregor, and you know it too.
Well, I gotta ask, because you've been hearing this, again, the past few weeks, do you think, as a fight fan, it's never gonna happen?
It'll never happen. Yes. Let me tell you what. That fight will happen before Floyd walks up and tries to slap Conor. I promise you that, too.
He'll
kick his head to another planet, and then he'll murder every one of his security guards.
Dana White taking some shots there, saying Floyd says he's going to slap Conor McGregor. Dana says Conor will destroy Floyd. basically calls him a midget or a little person.
They're the same freaking height.
I'm just telling you what Dana said there. You just heard it.
Says yeah, that they're the same height.
Says that he would beat up Floyd and every single one of his security guards. Now, I've seen some of Floyd's security guys. They're pretty big guys.
That doesn't mean they can fight, though.
No, it doesn't mean they can fight, but I'm not sure that Connor's going to kick them to another planet.
No, that's just a little hyperbole on Dana's part. But
why? Why give TMZ the soundbite?
Because that's Dana. That's what he ridiculous. Does. And, you know, all stupid. This is hype over nothing because it's a fight in boxing that'll never happen. No. Never. And if it did happen, if they had a boxing match, I'm going to tell you what's going to go down. Did you see when Floyd Mayweather fought Arturo Gatti?
Yes. He made money on that fight.
That's what it'll look like.
Love that fight.
That's what that fight will look like in the boxing ring.
Oh, I agree. If it's a boxing match, Connor has chance.
It's like this. If they fought 100 times in boxing, Floyd wins all 100 times. If they fought 100 times in MMA, Connor wins about 96. But there is a chance that he would like, hey, I'm gonna stand up with this guy.
I'm going to walk into a punch?
Yeah. Well, it's not that. The thing is this. I mean, because most boxing people and most MMA people get all emotionally charged and they start talking with emotion and not actual knowledge of what takes place inside the cage or the ring. As a trainer of both MMA guys and MMA and boxers, if Floyd says and does some dumb things, but what he doesn't do is, one, he trains really hard. He's very smart when it comes to his craft. If Floyd decided he was going to do MMA, you know what that means? He's already been training MMA. Floyd is worth $400 million. If he said, hey, let's see, who's the preeminent guy around my weight, let's see, in the world in grappling. Oh, Marcelo Garcia, multiple-time Abu Dhabi champion. Hey, Marcelo, let me see, sign a no-compete. I'll give you $500,000 to come train me. Let me find anything that ends with a stand or go to Iran and let me get a 71-kilo wrestler. I'm going to come pay you. You sign a no-compete, and we train. And he already knows striking. He already knows timing and distance. So all he's trying to do is close gaps. He's not trying to become better at grappling than, say, a Conor McGregor or anybody else. All he's trying to do is stop them from imposing their will. So after they take the first couple of shots and they don't work, now that person who's like, oh, crap, now I got to stand with this guy? You think standing with this guy? We saw Conor get outboxed by Nate Diaz, and I'm not taking anything away from Nate.
But he's not Floyd Mayweather.
No,
I agree. I've always thought the fight was a joke, even though people talk about it. But
okay, you were around. People are at stupid. This time. But is that what James Toney went in looking for?
No, it was totally different. James didn't train in boxing anymore, let alone was going to train in MMA.
Well, James
got a giant paycheck.
James was about chasing money. I was training Randy at the time.
I remember.
I was taking phone calls from James Toney. When he was stalking Dana White, going, yo, can you put Dana on the phone? I'm like, bro, I'm wrapping hands. My fighter's getting ready to fight. And that was all about money. Wasn't about a guy in boxing that's trying to come in. He was trying to get paid.
And he did.
He did. He got paid very well. But what I found out about that is that a lot of MMA people don't know fighting. Because, no, this is what happened. I'm at a press conference, or before a press conference was getting ready to happen, and I had MMA fighters were going, hey, Randy, you can dirty box with James. Why? Why would you want to do that? You don't think James will have a dirty box? Are you retarded? Look, as his boxing coach, I'm going to tell you what. The only time this thing is standing is when they touch gloves. After that, we're going to the ground. Yeah. The only way James can win this fight is you keep it standing.
Yep.
So when you fight a guy like Floyd Mayweather, you're coming over. Why would you keep it standing? Why would you? If all these guys could strike to that level, they would have went to boxing. If they didn't, there's a reason why. People need to respect what both do. MMA is a tough sport to be king in. So is boxing. People need to respect it for what it is and leave this crap alone. They're never going to fight. It's never going to happen. There's too many.
No, you're right.
All right, well, too many losses. We only got about 5 minutes left, so let's talk about some fights that are happening.
Okay.
This coming Friday. A Friday night card because Saturday is New Year's Eve and the UFC wants to do it before New Year's Eve.
Right.
Historically, the Friday cards haven't been the most successful for them, but I appreciate what they're doing. And quite honestly, Now I can watch this on Friday and then watch the bowl games, getting ready for the college championship on Saturday. So, you know, kind of works out for me where I can check out both of these things. But what do you make of the return of Ronda Rousey? Everybody tell me how great she looks and how good she is. And, yeah, she does look great, and she has been working out. I still want to see her reaction the first time she gets punched in the face because she hasn't been in there in a while, and we know, all of us know, you probably more than anybody else in here, when somebody has been knocked out, that first time they get hit in the face, they might be somebody completely different than the last time they were in that cage or ring.
Oh, absolutely. It is a possibility that her psyche was broke, and if her psyche is broke, she may never get that back. I do like the fact that she took a lot of time off to heal physically as well as mentally, but we'll see. I don't know. I really don't know what she's bringing into this fight. I know what the hype says, but they hyped her all along. I don't know.
But what about her not talking to the media at all? I mean, does that...
Right? That's good. She probably shouldn't talk to the media. After the way she handled it the first go around, that's why the backlash for her losing was so bad for her, because she had talked so much trash.
Yeah.
And it was mean-spirited. I mean, you know, a lot of Conor talks trash. We talked about Floyd talking trash, but... After fights, they seem to go congratulate their opponents and raise their opponents up. But hers was so mean-spirited that people couldn't wait till she lost, and she didn't handle it very well.
All right, what about the Velasquez-Verdum fight? We've been hearing this stuff that Velasquez is off the fight. He says he's going to have back surgery right after the fight, but he's still going to be on it. I'm reading some reports that Uriah Faber's throwing on the Facebook last night. And supposedly they've offered the fight to Junior Dos Santos. He's accepted it, but Verdun has accepted him. And Cain says, no, wait, I'm still on this card. I just have to have a little bone shave down for a sciatic nerve, and then I'll be back, so it's not that big of a thing. First off, is this fight still going to happen?
with Cain, I have no idea. He's always a question mark the last 4 years.
And are you surprised that with all this stuff going on that he's still a $2 or in some places a little bit bigger than a $2 favorite?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they're saying if he makes it to the fight, he'll win, but he's got to make it to the fight.
He's going to make it to the fight and see what happens with that guy.
By the way, Verdum's daughter has taken a shot apparently at Cain, saying he's only making this stuff up so he's got an excuse when he loses.
Ouch.
Wow, when the babies get involved.
You go, girl.
Cain says he would never do that.
No love or Dominic Cruz?
I got to go with Dominic until somebody solves that puzzle.
Yeah, it's very hard, difficult. Now, as a person that used to train Johnny Hendricks, he's got Neil Magny now coming.
I'm on this Ultimate Fighter Season 16 with Neil Magny. I know Neil well.
Do you know? Okay, so who you got there? I mean, we have Neil Magny at an autograph signing at a Vegas Discount Nutrition on Wednesday.
Let people know about that,
yes,
man.
Yes, Wednesday, December 30th. Cancel that, 27th.
If Johnny is focused and trained and his weight is down, Johnny will win this fight. But if Johnny is pretending like he did his last fight, he'll lose again.
Now, did he really pretend? Or is it hard for him to make weight?
Oh, it's hard for him to make weight because he has I love you, Johnny, but he has no discipline. And you cannot, when you fight at 170, you cannot get it to 220 pounds between fights. It's ridiculous. Plus, he's past 30 now.
Yeah.
That takes his wear and tear. But he even said it himself. He said that on his wife, and he had to read. And I know Johnny's a good dude, and he's got kids, and he wants to be that dad. But sometimes when, you know, you're a professional fighter, you have to be a little bit selfish and find that time to train.
Did it mess him up winning the title?
Yes and no. Yeah. A little bit.
All right, we have 50 seconds left here. Real quick, any other fight that you're looking at in this card that stands out to you?
Nope.
Because that pretty much covers it for me, too. If you are an MMA fan, specifically UFC, I think it's pretty cool what they're doing tonight. They are showing the UFC 206 again, Holloway Pettis, and some people saying the fight of the year, one of the best fights ever, Cub Swanson and Doho Choi.
Yeah, that was a crazy fight. Lots of action. Fun. I'd watch that over and over.
Where can people get a hold of you if they want to do some MMA training?
I still hang out at Extreme Couture, or you can reach me at phdathletics@gmail.com.
All right, for Armando Vasquez, Ron Frazier, Phil Devine, Big T Terrence on Ballpark Frank, have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your weekend. Happy Hanukkah, whatever you're celebrating.
Kwanzaa.
We'll talk to you after UFC 207. Yes, we'll still be doing the show next week. We're out. See you, bye.